Amen. Praise God. It is wonderful for us to worship God in His presence. He is worthy of praise as we sang this morning. And even as we keep singing again and again, the theme is nothing in this world can satisfy like Jesus. Hallelujah. He is worthy of praise. He is our Lord and Savior. Well, what is the best is that He is here in our midst. He wants to save us. He wants to rescue us. He wants to heal us. He wants to deliver us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let His presence continue to minister to us this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God, church. As we have been looking for the last few weeks, we have been going through the Gospel of John, and we have been in there for a while, and I think we're going to be there for this week and next week as well. That same portion that I read, I still want to focus on that because that portion is important, teaching us about discipleship. So we are going to read from John chapter 12, verses 24 to 26. Can someone read and help me? Amen. Hallelujah. We've been focusing on this verse and we have been studying about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Last week we looked at what does it mean to carry the cross, to deny oneself, to be crucified with Christ, to suffer along with Christ. I wanted to just continue on that theme. I said that this week will be a week of blessing. So this week and next week, my message will be a blessing message. But just so to continue from our last time, we're going to be reading two portions, which I think is important for us to focus. Actually, we'll just read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 12 to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Can someone read and help me, please? Amen. Thank you. When we read that portion, Paul is saying, there is everything for a Christian can do anything. It's lawful. There is nothing wrong that a Christian cannot do. Means, of course, like I said, you know, whatever we do in this world, we're feeding our fleshly man, we're feeding our spiritual man. Feeding our fleshly man is not wrong. There's nothing wrong in feeding our fleshly man. We have to eat to survive. We have to drink to survive. We have to rest to survive. We want to spend some time reading books. That's fine. You want to listen to some music. That's fine. You want to read the news. That's fine. You want to watch the news. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You buy bags. You buy technological devices. You buy toys. It doesn't matter. These are good things. And we can experience them. But Paul says here, not all things are profitable. And I will not be mastered by anything. Remember, children of God, who is our master? God. He is our only master. Last week, when we, the last portion I read, I said that a man cannot serve two masters. You serve one, and you let go of the other. So, who is your master? Is it God or is it Mammon? Is it God or is it money? Is it God or is it anything in this world? That's what we are focusing on. Now, we as Christians, we said, we are letting go of this world and we are following Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. That's what we have said. The world before me, the cross before me, the world behind me. We are going towards the cross of Christ. The world is behind us. We are forgetting the world. We are walking towards the cross of the Calvary. So God wants us not to be mastered by things of this world. If any of you are struggling to let go, Because you have been mastered by the sin of this world. God is saying, come, live in the Spirit, so you can break free from the bondage that the enemy brings. Everything is possible, but not everything is profitable, what should we do? What should we do instead? Turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. You can read the next verse too, Rajinkul. Thank you. When we look at that portion, Paul is telling to the church in Philippi, there are certain things we must do. Do things that you're dwelling on, true things, noble things, right things, pure things, lovely things, admirable things. Do things that, as Christians, it is beneficial for us. Not everything is profitable. So spend time doing things that's profitable. Children of God, let me put it this way. If I ask the youngsters here, if you love playing games, what will you say? I love playing games. Of course, most of you will say that. But when I ask you, what is the benefit you get from that? What do you get? What benefit do you get? You get rest, it's something fun to do, but is there anything lasting long term? Is there anything beneficial long term? You get higher in status, higher in power, but there is nothing you can carry and say. You can't go to your college and say, hey, I got the third rank in LOL. This isn't going to work. No one's going to give you a degree because of that, right? So I'm just saying, when you guys spend time in games, we're doing it for a temporary pleasure. There is nothing that is lasting for a long time. This is true about all of us. Whether we watch serials, whether we watch movies, I know that our people don't do that here. So whether if you did, we watch that, we enjoy that, and when we spend time and we come out of it, is there anything beneficial we get long term? No. Nothing we are spending that time. We spend half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours. What is the benefit we get? Nothing that lasts. It doesn't give us anything. In fact, it makes us even more hungry. What is going to happen to that guy or that girl next week? And we can't wait. Oh, that's the desire for us. But what knowing that, what will it do for us? Long term, nothing. If that person gets together or doesn't get together, who cares? Our life is not impacted. That's why I'm saying it's a waste of time. It's not profitable. Games are not profitable. Movies are not profitable. Series are not profitable. I will even go as to say that anything that we do on this earth, even like watching news, yes, it is profitable, you might say. I know what's happening in the world. What do you do with that information? What knowing about a tornado or an earthquake in another nation or someone died or someone stole something, how is that impacting or profiting you in anything? Nothing. Absolute zero. Watching news is absolutely useless. Reading the newspaper is absolutely useless. The men in this church will come to crucify me later. But I'm just saying, these things that we do, there is no profit in it, no long-term benefit. But Paul is saying certain things are profitable. What are those things? Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or meditate on these things. Don't walk away from this meeting saying that I cannot play games, I cannot read the news, I cannot read the newspaper, I cannot watch series. That's not what I'm trying to say. I'm saying that you can do all these things, but there is no profit in it. When we see our children playing games, what do we tell them? മോനെ ഇതുകൊണ്ട് എന്തോ ചെയ്യുക, സമയം കളയവല്ലേ. Why are you wasting time? Instead, sit and focus, study. Did you finish your homework? മോനെ ആ ബുക്ക് എടുക്ക്. And let me see what report you are doing. Tell me this math question. I'm going to send you for Kumon. Do Kumon problems. There are still papers to do. These are just normal. Why do we tell them this? Because playing games bring no profit. True? Right? This is the parents' intention. Doing something is a waste of time. Instead, use that time wisely. Spend the time reading the Bible. Go spend the time in prayer. Go do some homework. Go work on that project. And then the son will say, that project is due only next week, Amma. That's fine. I can still do it in one day. Moni, it doesn't hurt if you start doing it right now. And then the boy walks away, lies in the bed, and then thinks that, okay, if mom comes, then I will start working. This is all just natural. This is what has happened in my life, I'm saying. So anyway, we children, whatever we do right now, it impacts us for long term. When we study right now, when we study in our schools, what is the benefit that we are getting? I said this last week also. What is the benefit we are getting? We are investing into a long term, right? What you guys are studying right now in high school, trust me, college or university gets worse. Ask any of the people who are in university now. You think high school is terrible and it can't get worse? Get into college or university. It gets even more difficult. Once you get there, you're studying and you're preparing. And why? What are you doing this for? You're looking for a long-term benefit. You want to get a degree. You want an education. You want to be recognized. You want to have a good future. You want to be able to afford a house in this economy. You need to have good education, good degree, good salary, good things, good recognition, good fame. You need all these good things. The starting step is focus on school. Struggle. Focus in your college, university. Struggle. Whatever you're doing other than studying is a waste of time. You're not investing into your future. Instead, invest in your future. Some of you already see where I'm going with this. But children of God, God is telling us, invest in our future. Let me put it this way. Francis Chandler, this preacher who does this, he used a rope as an illustration, and he had this rope go all across the room, and then he took the end of it and he just covered it with red, this portion. And he looked at this rope and said, this rope is very long. Imagine this rope is never ending. This starting portion of this rope determines how the rest of the rope is going to be. If you live a good life in this small portion, you will have a great eternity. If you live bad in this portion of your life, you will have a bad eternity. What do you want? Invest in a good future. The same thing we tell our children. Even if you live 100 or 120 years, what is that compared to millions of years, billions of years, trillions of years? If we tell our children, focus now, study hard, educate yourself, go through the suffering of writing these exams and assignments and doing the projects on time so that your future will be successful, God wants us to do the same in our short period here on this earth. We are temporarily passing through this life. We don't have much time here. We know that because God wants us to focus on our eternity. That is why I said eternal life is knowing God, and the greatest homework you can do is to know God in this life and know Him even more, growing to the surpassing knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul says. So these things, what is profitable? What is not profitable? Now, I'm going to use another illustration. How many of you have experienced living in the Gulf? Some of you? Some of you guys have experience living in the Gulf. Can I ask all these people who raised their hands, how many of you built a house in the Gulf? Not a single one of you. Someone, I don't know if they waved saying that they built. But did you guys build a house in the country that you lived? A long-term house. You were earning money, right? You were making so much money. Why didn't you build a house in your place? Wasn't life in Dubai, Sharjah, Bahrain, Saudi, all these different places good? Some of you, when we look, even go to Canada here, it's like, Gulf le jeevitham. You know, like all of us look back and say, man, it was so much more nice living in the Gulf. Then why didn't you build a house there? Why? There is no long-term plan. You are going to leave. Instead, you put money in the bank for what? To build a house in India. Why? Because you know you are going to end up there. Children of God, I'm trying to tell you another thing. Building a house in the Gulf doesn't make sense when you know you're going to leave it. Instead, build a house in the place which is your eternal house, because that's where you will end up and live for eternity. That is the same logic we use in the kingdom of God. Children of God, we are only passing here. We are living in tents here. There is nothing that will last with us. Paul says the stomach and the body will die. Whatever we do on this earth will not last. Not a single penny can you take with you after you die. Not a single thing. Not the clothes, not the house, not the car, not the bags, not the shoes, not the technological gadgets. Nothing we can take with us when we die. Instead, put your focus on eternity. What is there? There is blessing. There is Jesus. There is God. God wants us what is best for us. He is telling us to deny ourselves because he knows the rest of eternity is better than anything you can experience here. We keep telling our children, you know, we want you to have a better future than we did. We tell that. Why? Because we want them to succeed. We want them to have a blessing. The same thing our Heavenly Father is. Struggle now on this earth. Hold back on your desires. Persecute yourself. Deny yourself. Take up the cross. Long term, there is benefit. Long term, there is an eternal benefit. Children of God, so this time, also I'm going to read another verse. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. Know that this week and next week will be a blessing week. It doesn't sound like it yet, but it's going to be a blessing week. 1 Peter chapter 2, can someone read and help me please? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 19 to 25. Okay, so thank you for reading that. When we read this portion, Paul is saying, be like Christ. Suffer like Christ. How did Christ suffer? Christ suffered for us. He left an example for us to follow. When Jesus was on earth, did he have a mansion or a palace? No. Was there anything that Jesus owned? Not really. In fact, when the people came to Jesus and said, you have to give tax, Jesus is like, I have nothing. Go catch some fish. Maybe the fish will have something. He doesn't have anything to even just basically pay his tax. He has nothing in his name. He suffered. Why? Because he lived for us. And this is what God wants us to do. Do what is right. Suffer along with Christ. Now, the natural question for all of us is, why? Have you thought about that? Why? Why should I be a disciple? Why should I suffer on this earth? Why should I persecute myself? Why should I deny my desires? For what purpose? For what benefit? What if I don't want to enjoy eternity? I just want to enjoy this life. What is the purpose? And this is a good question. The disciples of Jesus asked him the very same thing. In fact, it was Peter who asked him. I'm just going to say those three portions, just one of the portions you can read, anyone who gets there first. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Mark chapter 10, verse 28. Luke chapter 18, verse 28. Whoever finds that any of those verses, you can read it. Yes, Peter is reaching to Jesus. You know, all these portions in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the portion is right after the rich man. Last week I said, God asked the rich man, what? You're doing everything right, just give up your possessions. Are you ready to do that? The man said, no. He walked away. Immediately Jesus said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven? All the disciples are shocked. They're like, who is able to do this? Who is able to give up all their possessions? How can you do that? Like when I ask you guys, like, is any one of you ready to give up everything, all your possessions, leave your bank empty if Jesus asks you? We all said, okay, maybe not, but more like maybe not. But when we come, I know for myself, but then when we come to this question, disciples are saying, who will give up following this life? When Jesus said the Beatitudes, think of an ad, okay? It's an advertisement. When you look at advertisements, what is their job? To make you think you need that right now. They will convince you, this is missing in your life. And if you just get this, you will find purpose. Jesus, to his disciples, when he's preaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. He is saying blessings for people who are struggling. He's telling his disciples, in this world, if you want blessing, you have to mourn, you have to cry, you have to be peaceful, you have to suffer, you need to be persecuted. Who wants this? Any of you guys want to be persecuted? No. Any of you guys want to be mournful? No. Any of you want to be poor in spirit? No. None of us want that. Then why is Jesus telling us to focus on this? Because Jesus has something to give to us. Jesus wants us to experience something. So when Peter turns around and asks Jesus, look, Lord, the 12 of us, we left everything. If you read the Gospels, you'll see that when Jesus called the fishermen, they left their nets behind, right? When Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, they left that station. None of them said, one second, let me go and report to my boss and tell him I'm leaving, sign a resignation letter and leave. No, he left it right then and there, and he followed Jesus. All of the disciples that followed Jesus, mainly these 12 disciples, left whatever they were doing and followed Christ right away. They had nothing. They had nothing in their hand. There was nothing for them. So Peter is asking, what will we get in return? What will we get? In all of these portions, in the next portion, what does Jesus say to Peter? Can you read that portion, Raji Uncle? It's found in the verses after Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Luke chapter 18, verse 28, Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. If someone else is there, you can read it. So here, Jesus is responding to Peter and saying, anyone who has abandoned anything, they will receive blessings where? In eternal life? Blessing now. In this life. The gospel message is a prosperity message. Not prosperity like we think it is. The gospel message is a message that wants you to prosper. It wants you to succeed. It wants what's best for you. Any of you parents want what is the worst for your children? No. When you tell them you need to study hard now, work hard now, what are you telling? You want them to prosper in the future. The gospel message is a prosperity message. Prosperity means blessing. God wants to bless us for eternity. He is not sitting there and seeing we are suffering. Oh, he's suffering. Good for him. I will give him eternal life. God wants us to suffer in this life so we can have prosperity for the rest of our life. All of us want something. All of us desire something. Let me be real with you. I'm just going to probably end it here, and next week I'll continue with this topic. All of us want something. This is, I know some people who watch on YouTube obituaries or like the funeral services. They don't even know the people, but they will spend time watching the funeral service. When people say the testimonies about that person and say, what a good man he is, he did this for us, this woman did nice things for us, they are also crying. I'm like, why are you crying? You don't know these people. Oh, but they said so many good testimonies. And then they will say, like, I wonder what my children will say on my obituary. What is left for me to say? Please don't think anything else. It's like, we ask this, what will you say? What will you think about me? What will you say? And even we have thought, at the end, when we pass away this world, what will be our legacy? What will we be known for? All of us want something to be known for. We want to leave this world with a stamp. We want people to know, at least a few people to know, that when I leave, they will miss us. Some of us want to be businessmen, known for starting a business and succeeding. Some of us want to be good people. Some of us want recognition in our office, our boss to tell us, yes, you are a good worker or an employee. We want some recognition. We want some bank balance. We want some possession. We want this. This is our legacy. I'm going to share with you what is my legacy. This is what I'm living for. This is what I want in my life. If my tombstone says, the place, if I die and people just say, he was a good father, he was a good husband, he was a good friend. If these people have that much to say, I'm done. I'm happy. This is what I'm chasing for. I'm being completely honest with you. I don't care if I have a big pastor, big church, small pastor, small church, if I have 1,000 people or even just 3 people. I don't care. I will be happy as long as these 3 are met. I'm a good friend. I'm a good father. I'm a good husband. These are my main requirements. This is what I'm living for. If I die today, I want that to be left. If you people come and say, Joel is a good pastor, he was a great pastor, a great preacher, thank you. I will appreciate that. If you don't say that also, no problem. It doesn't affect me. But if my wife says he was a good husband, that will give me joy and reward. You know, if Jedediah says he was a really good dad, that's what will give me happiness and joy. We are all running after something. We all want to be known for something. We want to leave a legacy on this earth. That is why we are living. There is purpose. We even ask God, God, what? Why do you want me here? Why do you want me in this world? There are so many people else that you can use. Why me? What is my purpose, my unique purpose in this world? All of us have desires that we want to leave. It's not wrong. But let me tell you, if, God forbid, Betty passes away today, or Jedediah passes away today, where is my purpose? I will have no more reason to live. My purpose is destroyed. Do you understand what I'm saying? In one moment, my purpose is destroyed. I have no more reason to live. I don't care if you all say you will have a good preacher, you can still continue ministry. I don't care. For me, my wife and my son mean so much to me. Everything is so important. Even if you tell me to leave church because I care about my child and my wife more, I don't care. I'll be happy to. I care about them more than anything else in this world. If God takes them, I will have no purpose. I will actually consider not living in this world anymore. The reason why we do this is because everything on this earth has an expiry date. Any desire you have on this earth has an expiry date. The only thing that doesn't have an expiry date is eternity. If instead of just keeping my eyes focused on being a good husband or being a good father, I say I want to be a good son, ultimately, I want when I go to heaven, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If that becomes my desire, let God take them. I can still be a good son to God. Do you understand? Many people who try to end their life here in this world, they have no purpose because they have not found purpose in eternity. God wants us to find our purpose in Him. It is so much more important than any legacy you can leave on this earth. Instead, if I take care of my wife and my son and I pursue that with all of my heart, but I miss out on the kingdom of God, what have I accomplished? Nothing. Absolute zero. There is nothing profitable for me. Instead, if I invest in eternity, it will never fade. No robber can come steal it. No thief can come and destroy it. Children of God, God wants us to prosper. Prosper in eternity. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Children of God, do we have that mindset that my treasure is in heaven? Then it doesn't matter when the new car comes that we need to upgrade. It doesn't matter if we live in the basement of a household. It doesn't matter what state other things are, because we are living for eternity. This is a tent. This is just temporary. It is passing away. I'd rather build and invest into my eternal house with my Lord. Let me put this in the Gospel of John, we keep coming against eternal life again and again. But this word is not used much in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The reason why is because when the other three Gospel writers of the Synoptic Gospels, they want eternal life to be equal to kingdom of God. This is their understanding. If you are a citizen of the heavenly kingdom, you already have eternal life. Because it means that we are not living for our temporary place here. We are investing into the kingdom of God. Do you guys understand what I'm saying? Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2, that same portion that we read before. Is it 1 Peter chapter 2? We already read that. Let's turn to, Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 to 21. Philippians chapter 3. Yeah, can someone read it? Yeah, keep reading. So, children of God, when we read this verse last week, I told you that there are people who just want to feed their appetite. They want to play game. That's it. They'll focus on that. They want to read this book. That's it. They'll focus on that. They want to watch the news. They'll focus on that. Their desire is what they feed. And they set their minds on earthly things. But instead, what should we do? Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is not here. Why did you not build a house in the Gulf? Because you were not a citizen of the Gulf. You built the house where you're a citizen of. Invest into where you belong. If we belong in heavenly places, invest into that, children of God. Parents, if you want your children to prosper, tell them, invest into the kingdom of God more than anything they can gain on this earth, because you cannot promise them their future, but you can promise their eternity. You cannot promise their future. You cannot tell where they will be 10 or 15 years from now, but if you train them right, their eternity is secure. That is where our focus needs to be. Our focus needs to be in eternity, not on temporary things that have an expiry date. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to end my portion by reading Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. That's it. I'm done. I've said multiple times I'm going to end my portion. Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 to 46. Thank you. What is the kingdom of God like? What is eternal life like? It is more valuable than anything you own right now. So if there is a cost for it, we will gladly pay it. Even if you have to sell your land, or you, as a merchant, your identity is selling everything, but you will sell all your possessions so that you can just get this one thing in return, won't we? In the same way, if we truly understand what the kingdom of God is, we would sell all our possessions here on earth to trade it for eternity. Do you get what I'm saying? When we fix our prosperity in eternity, if Christ tells us, give up everything, you will have eternal life, we will say eternal life is better. Does that make sense? When we understand and truly grasp where we are citizens of, when Christ tells us to give up something, take it. Eternal life is so much more valuable. Take my wife. Take my son. No problem. Eternal life is much more valuable. Do you understand? I might lose my purpose, but I have found my purpose in eternity. Everything that we want to earn on this earth, whatever legacy we want to set, whether we gain it or not, it will die with us. Why does it matter if some people come and say on your funeral service that you are a good person? You are not there to hear it. What's the point? Maybe someone will record it and in heaven you can watch that series. But otherwise you're not there. You don't know. What does it matter what they say about you? In the end, you're going to reach there. What will my God say about me? What will my Heavenly Father say about me? What is my identity in Christ? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time, Lord. We pray that, God, you give us a focus of prosperity, the right prosperity, where we will store up treasures, not on this earth, but we will store up treasures in heaven, in eternity, where no thief, no robber can come steal or destroy. God, we offer up our life to you. Give us the true understanding of what it means, what eternal life, what being a citizen of the kingdom of God means. Then, Lord, we will not invest in this earth anymore. We will not invest in temporary things. We will not invest in things that have no profit. Instead, we will invest on heavenly things, not on earthly things. God, give us that eternal perspective. Change our mind, renew our mind, transform our mind so that we do not be conformed according to the standards of this world. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your presence and your power in this place. We pray that you will continue to speak to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.